This podcast is presented by Chicago Sports Nation. Chicago Sports Nation, enhancing your Chicago sports fan experience. Welcome to White Sox Nation Podcast, brought to you by Manscaped. Make sure you get the all-new and improved Lawnmower 4.0 on manscaped.com. And of course, use our code CHI, C-H-I, and you get 20% off plus free shipping. This is your host, Jack Thiel, on a jam-packed Monday episode of White Sox Nation Podcast. Today, we're going to look back at last week's games, talk about the good, the bad against the Blue Jays and the Chicago Cubs. Yasmani Grandal is back and easily made his presence known in that Crosstown Classic series against the Cubs. The development and the upgrade of Luis Robert, why the way he's been playing right now, should have you pumped for the future of the Big 8-8. And then lastly, Dallas Keuchel has been struggling. We're going to talk about what maybe is going on and what could be the future for him and, you know, what the rotation could look like if Dallas Keuchel maybe sees less pitching time. And, of course, we'll take a look at next week's games and give our bold predictions brought to you by Manscaped. With that being said, let's review this week. So, the White Sox travel to Toronto to face off against the Toronto Blue Jays. On Monday, they lost the series opener 2-1. The Blue Jays were able to score the winning run in the eighth inning off a Kimbrel wild pitch. And then on Tuesday, the White Sox came back and won 5-2. A big four-run first inning as Dylan Cease threw seven innings, one run, and seven strikeouts. Abreu with a three-run home run in that first. And then on Wednesday, the White Sox would fall late 3-1 as the Blue Jays would score more runs in the eighth, just like in Monday's win, and help them win that one. In the finale, the White Sox were able to even the series out with a 10-7 win, a big game for the offense, especially off the bat of Tim Anderson, Aloy Menez, and Luis Robert. Then the White Sox would come back to Southside to face the Cubs in the first game. It was 17-13 win. The White Sox were down 6-0, came back all the way, and took a 13-6 lead. The Cubs made things interesting, but the White Sox would come back as Yasmani Grandal's first game had 8 RBIs and 2 home runs, as well as Aloy had himself 2 RBIs and Jose had 2 RBIs. And then on Saturday, Lance Lynn on the mound got rocked, and all White Sox fans were shocked that they would lose to the Cubs 7-0 with Lance Lynn on the mound. And then on Sunday, the White Sox were able to really put the hurting on the Cubs, winning 13-1. Luis Robert had himself a first-inning home run, but the White Sox were able to score 9 runs in the 5th and 6th inning and take a 13-1 win. And Dylan Cease, once again, through 6 innings, 1 earned run and 11 strikeouts, looking sharp on the mound. So our first subject of the day is Yasmani Grandal. So as much as you know, Yasmani has been out with surgery, but made his return to the lineup on Friday to face the Cubs. And obviously, like we said, 2 home runs, 8 RBIs, but also he had himself 4 hits. He was 4-for-6 on the day and brought his average up over 200. And then on Sunday's win, he also had himself another home run and 2 RBIs and 2 hits. Now, why is it big that Yasmani Grandal is back? I think one of the simplest answer you can give, it's Yasmani Grandal. Yasmani Grandal has been one of the best catchers in baseball for years. I'd say the last 4 or 5 years, he's been the best catcher in baseball. Him, JT Realmuto, Mike Zunino, Wilson Contreras. And this year, a lot of people have hated Yasmani Grandal because the average is not there, because the average is pretty low, and sometimes people don't really look at anything else besides batting average, home runs, and RBIs. And they didn't really look at his on-base percentage of walk numbers, which were league tops and league highs. And a lot of people are getting ridiculed a lot. And I think also people are forgetting that he's really good at defense as well. One of the best framers in baseball and has himself a pretty good arm. And now I think people are realizing how important he is to this team. And no offense to Zach Collins, who just got sent down, or Sebi Savala. But Yasmani Grandal is one of the most important players on this team in terms of the White Sox. He is a guy who the White Sox are going to need if they want to win the World Series. One reason is the veteran leadership. Obviously, that's huge. He's a veteran, and he knows the ups and downs of the game. You know, especially to have a veteran behind the plate, that's even bigger. Because with the White Sox, who are a young staff and not the most playoff experience, you need a guy to calm you down and, you know, just get them back on track. And for Yasmani Grandal, he has just been a great player. And obviously, like I said, people do not like where the average is. But he's at a career high in walks, which we've talked about, a career high in hard hit percentage, a career high in weighted on base percentage, or weighted on base average. He's a career high in expected slugging. He's a career high in expected batting average. And a second career in launch angle. I mean, that's kind of important. Career high in barrel percentage. So, Yasmani Grandal, even though the average isn't there, but it's getting there, he has been one of the most important pieces to the Chicago White Sox. And it's pretty evident. You go back to the games this week. He was getting really hot before he got hurt. You know, like I said, everyone wants everyone to hit, you know, 40 home runs, 130 RBIs with a 300 batting average. You know, if you don't do that, you're not good, which is totally not even close to the case at all, which we should all realize that. You know, some guys are going to struggle at the plate but show power. Now, here's the thing. Yasmani Grandal's average might not be the greatest, but it's not like he's not getting on base or helping the team out. If he wasn't getting on base, then yeah, you have the argument that he's not playing good or he's not doing good. But there is no argument there because Yasmani Grandal is one of the best in terms of on-base percentage or walk rates. And that's why you can't say that he is not good. Like I said, if he wasn't having this good of a plate discipline season, you can say that. You can easily say that he's not good. But that's not even close to the case at all in terms of his on-base rate. I mean, now he doesn't qualify in terms of on-base percentage because he missed about a portion of the season for the White Sox. But, I mean, if you were able to count his on-base percentage for, you know, this season, you know, right now it stands at about, I would say, yeah, it stands at about almost 400. It appears. Yep, almost 400. It's at 398. You know, if we're going to count him and his stats, you know, not worrying about how many games you've played this season, if we counted it, he'd be fifth. No, he'd be fourth. He'd be right behind Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for on-base percentage in the MLB. So I think when we evaluate Yasmani Grandal, we need to realize how important he is to this team and how much he's going to help this team with the final games of the regular season, but also a playoff run. And like I said, I know many people want him to have more, you know, hits or home runs, but he's been showing a lot of power, and I really think Yasmani Grandal has been feeling it, you know, these past days, and I feel like he's going to get even hotter, and I'm very excited to see how well he's going to play. Our next subject is Luis Robert. He has been a fireball ever since he came off the IL. And the Big 8-8, some people like to call him La Pantera. He has just been a force of nature at the plate. And yesterday, two home runs for the center fielder. But it's just been a great season, especially after the injured list for Luis. And you look at the stats right now this season in terms of overall, obviously there isn't that much because he just came back. I mean, he's batting .344 with 6 home runs and 21 RBIs, but ever since he came back from his injury, he has hit 5 home runs for 13 RBIs. He's batting .382 with an on-base percentage of .425, a slugging of .676, and an OPS of 1.101. He's played in about 20 games, I'd say. Yeah, 20 games, it appears. And he's hit in 18 of those games, and he has about 8 multi-hit games. And definitely a long RBI streak for him as well. In his last 3 games, Luis Robert has 6 hits, 3 home runs, and 5 RBIs, including an extra base hit. And you wonder, why did Luis Robert get better? I mean, he got hurt. You know, shouldn't he be rusty? Shouldn't he be, you know, cold? Shouldn't he be slow, you know? But I think Luis Robert looks the best he has in his whole career. You know, I don't know what happened on that injury, but it seems like ever since he has come back, he has looked like a different person at the plate. He looks more confident, more comfortable, more able to read pitches in terms of the good ones to swing and the bad ones in terms of not to swing at. You know, he's been such a force at the plate right now. I mean, his K rate is down 10% from last year. His weighted on base average are both up, especially his slugging. That is especially up as well. I think another thing is he is killing fastballs. He has been hitting 407 against fastballs. But I mean, on any pitch in 2021, he's hitting very well. You go back to 2020, he was hitting 202 against fastballs. And like I said, now he's hitting 407. You know, in 2020, his whiff rate was at 36% on fastballs. This year, it's only 22%. You know, Luis, I think it's really has come down to how comfortable he is at the plate. And I think that's something we're going to see him get more comfortable at the plate. We're also going to see him get more comfortable after the more games he plays. And like I said, he has just been a force. And I think the biggest contributor is obviously he has the guys around him to really help him this year and make sure that pitchers have to pitch to him. But like I said, also, he seems more confident, more calm, more aggressive at the plate. You know, last year he was swinging a lot of pitches and pitchers started to figure him out by the end of the year. But right now, Luis Robert looks as good as anybody on the Chicago White Sox. And what I mean by that is he has just been doing it all around, not just hitting, fielding. You know, it's a guy who's he is a guy who has really been able to field the ball very well. With a nice glove, obviously a 2020 Gold Glover. But my point being is that he just seems like a different breed out there right now. And like I said, there's so many contributing factors to this, I feel like. But my point would just say is I think he's getting the baseball groove that we knew that would happen to him. You know, rookies have their struggles. It may be at the beginning of their season. It may be at the end of their seasons. But for Luis Robert, I think when he got hurt, he really took that time to make himself a better baseball player. He really took that time to mature himself and watch some film probably. Realize where were hitters, pitching him, where were hitters exposing him. And I think he's worked on those areas where he was getting exposed and making himself a better baseball player, obviously. And I think with the way he's on now, I mean, you can put him anywhere in the lineup and he's just going to be a dangerous player. You know, I in my opinion, I really think Luis Robert should be a 2 or 6 guy. You know, it's really tough because Tim Anderson's always going to be the leadoff guy. But you want Luis to be able to drive in runs. But you got to remember, this guy is fast. He is one of the fastest players on the team. So honestly, I think more Luis Robert at second would be awesome to see just because he's got that power. Let's say TA gets on, Luis can easily drive him in with one hit in the gap. So I think for Luis Robert, it's just been a huge turnaround for him. And I really hope he can keep this up because the Luis Robert we're seeing right now, this is a Luis Robert that can turn into an MVP winner and a future All-Star, and as well as a future one of the best players in the league that we could be talking about soon. So our last subject before our break is going to be Dallas Keuchel. Now, Dallas Keuchel was really good last year for the Chicago White Sox. I believe he had like a 1.99 ERA. Really good. Struggled in that playoff start. And, you know, I think he really just kept the White Sox in check. He did a good job. He was one of the leaders on the team, and you really can't ask for much of him. But this year, it's been a different year for Dallas Keuchel, you could say. Coming into today, he's 8-7 with a 5 ERA. And if you look at the MLB percentile rankings in 2021, he is in the lows of every pitching category besides average exit velocity. He is at a career low in expected batting average, which means he's getting hit more. Expected slugging, which means he's getting more hit. The Ks are coming in less, and the expected ERA is at a career worse. He has just not been the Dallas Keuchel we're used to seeing. You wonder maybe what happened. It's really hard to tell. I think maybe age is being a problem for him. I mean, a lot of his pitches are getting barreled. I mean, he's at a career worst in terms of getting his pitches hit hard, which is never good to see from a pitcher. You know, he has just not been good. And I hate to say that because Dallas Keuchel, like I said, he was such a huge part to this White Sox team last year, and he really helped them. But this year, I think he's really hurting them. Obviously, go to his last start against the Chicago Cubs. It did not go very well. He only pitched one inning and he gave up 5 earned runs. In the month of August, in 23 innings, he's given up 20 runs. And he has a 7.43 ERA in the month of August. And if you go back to his last 7 starts, the White Sox are only 2-5. And, you know, the last time he's had himself a good performance was July 9th, but that was against the Baltimore Orioles. And, you know, he started off pretty good this year. I mean, he was up and down. You know, I think he really started to find his groove in the middle of June. But ever since then, he has been a problem for the White Sox. And you ask yourself, what are you going to do? He's obviously inserted himself as the number 5 guy for the White Sox. But here's the case. Do you put him into that 5 spot? Or do you look for someone else? And in my opinion, I think you look at Ronaldo Lopez. Crazy I'm saying this. I know it's crazy. But the way he has been pitching has just been phenomenal. He just looks rejuvenated. Like I said, I know it's not popular to say Ronaldo Lopez you want pitching, especially ahead of a guy like Dallas Keuchel, and you want him maybe to appear in a playoff game where it's do or die. But 2021 Ronaldo Lopez is not the same as 2020 Ronaldo Lopez. And why do I say that? One is the fastball. His location on his fastball has been tremendous this year. It's also gained some velocity as well. I mean, coming in today, he's 3-1 with a 1.59 ERA. He's only thrown in 34. He has 34 innings, 37 strikeouts, and only 7 walks. His only really rough outing was against the Tampa Bay Rays 2 weeks ago, where he gave up 3 runs in 4 innings. But, I mean, on Saturday, or Friday night, I should say, comes in against the Cubs. He throws 5 no-hit innings, doesn't walk a runner, and also 7 strikeouts. And then you go to a start against Oakland. 5 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 4 strikeouts. He has just been a force on the mound. And I really think it's time to start considering Ronaldo Lopez. I just think he has been that guy so far for the White Sox. Now, that could backfire at any moment. But it's hard to deny the way he's been pitching this year. And it's hard to ignore that and say you'd rather have Ronaldo. It's hard. I can't really think of how someone can have a good debate if they said they would rather have Dallas Keuchel over Ronaldo Lopez pitching. Like I said, I know it's crazy. If we're talking about right now, it's easily Ronaldo Lopez over Dallas Keuchel if it comes to that point. So we're going to go to our ads by Manscaped and Anchor. After, I'm going to take a look at this week's games and give our bold predictions. Stay tuned, everybody.
Breaking news. This is an important PSA brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your public service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the U.S. and Canada. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we are one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems like Manscaped worked with Elon Musk engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. Now, what makes this trimmer different than all the other trimmers? It has a new multifunction on and off switch, which you can engage a travel lock, which is created for people who like to travel. The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. The new trimmer even allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. And looks-wise, it's sleek with a two-tone matte and gloss finish, even features a hot foil-stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud. The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is waterproof so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the bathroom floor. Did I mention wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. If you're still trimming your face with your ball trimmer, it's time to make some changes. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SHY, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth, and your balls will thank you. So you get 20% off and free shipping with the code SHY, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code SHY. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Welcome back to White Sox Nation Podcast, brought to you by Manscaped. And also, these bold predictions are brought to you by Manscaped. Before we go there, let's take a look at this week for the White Sox. So the White Sox have two off days, but their week will start on Tuesday night against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates will be throwing out there Bryce Wilson for them, and then Lucas Giolito. Last time he threw against the Pirates in August and guaranteed rate, well, he had a no-hitter. So we'll see if he can repeat that. And on Wednesday, the White Sox will face off against the Pirates. It'll be Mitch Keller and Carlos Rodon. The White Sox have the off day Thursday. Then they will travel to Kansas City to face the Royals. On Friday night, it'll be Dallas Keuchel and Carlos Hernandez. On Saturday at 6:10, it will be Lance Lynn and Daniel Lynch. And then on Sunday at 1:10, it will be Dylan Cease and Brady Singer. So that being said, now it's time for our bold predictions brought to you by Manscaped. The first bold prediction is Lucas Giolito throws 7 shutout innings tomorrow. Obviously, I made that joke about the no-hitter, but Lucas Giolito has really been finding his stride, you know, ever since the All-Star break. And I think this year he's been good. He's had a couple of starts where they've gone away from him, but ever since the All-Star break, Lucas Giolito has looked like a brand new spanking pitcher. And I think you go ever since to his start against the Baltimore Orioles on July 10th, all of his starts besides one, he's given up 2 earned runs or less. So that means, if you're talking about it, basically, in the last 9 starts, 8 of them have 2 earned runs or less. The walks have not really been an issue at all. So I think 7 shutout innings for Lucas Giolito against the Pirates tomorrow. My another bold prediction is Luis Robert has himself a 4-hit day this week. Luis Robert is feeling it, and I think he's going to be feeling it even more. He's going to have himself a big day at the plate. Tim Anderson has himself a multi-home run game. I think T.A. has been seeing the ball well, of course. I think he's going to hit 2 of them in the same game. Jose Abreu, he's going to reach 30 home runs this season, this week. That means, well, basically means he's going to hit 30 home runs or 3 home runs this week and gain that luxurious, once again, 30 home run, 100 RBI season. Something that not many people can do, especially at the rate Jose Abreu's been doing it. So I think Jose will hit 3 home runs this week and gain that 100 RBI mark. And the last bold prediction is the bullpen doesn't give up an earned run in 5 games. Tough, but we'll see. The bullpen's been up and down, and I really hope maybe they can find their stride this week. It's a bold prediction. But yeah, and the White Sox, they should also go 5-0 this week. No offense to the Pirates, they are not good. And to the Royals, they will give us fits, but they're a team we should beat day in and day out. And with series against the Athletics, Red Sox, Angels upcoming, these are the games you have to win to really give yourself a boost of confidence. So with that being said, that's it for the bold predictions. Make sure to listen to the White Sox Nation podcast on every Monday. You can listen on all podcasting platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, and etc. It's your host, Jack Thiel, signing off and saying, Have a great day, everybody.